Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You heard in the epistle, 1 Corinthians 13, what true love is, what true love looks like, what true love does. That is the love God calls on his people to show to one another at all times, from the heart. But not before God demonstrated it himself. As Jesus said to his disciples, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends." That was the path that Jesus chose for himself, to lay down his life for his friends. Now, as St. Paul reminds us in writing to the Roman Christians, Christ laid down his life even for those who weren't at that time his friends, even for those who were then his enemies, like the Apostle Paul himself at the time when Jesus died, who was still the Pharisee, Saul. Like the Roman Christians themselves at the time when Jesus died, who hadn't even heard about this Jesus at that time. But there is a special love that Christ has for those whom he has made his friends, his disciples. It's maybe somewhat similar to a soldier who goes off to war and is prepared to die for his country and everyone in it, to keep us all safe, to preserve the freedom of us all. But you can bet that he has in mind specifically and especially his own friends, his own family, his own loved ones. So did Jesus. He chose his disciples to be his friends. And now he has chosen us too. He has revealed to us in his word the very same things that he revealed to his disciples. And as he said to them, "I have called you friends, for all things that I heard from my Father, I have made known to you." So we have that benefit too, of having heard the things of Jesus, all of his Father's will, carried out by the Son of God for us. But that's also the hard part of the first part of our gospel today, because Jesus pulled aside his 12 best friends in the world and revealed to them specifically that he was about to do his most important work, his most loving work for them. He took the 12 aside and said to them, "Behold, we're going up to Jerusalem, and all things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man will be accomplished. For he will be delivered to the Gentiles, and will be mocked and insulted and spit upon. They will scourge him and kill him, and the third day he will rise again." Jesus reminds his disciples here that the prophets, when they wrote their holy scriptures in the Old Testament, wrote about him. Not just that he, the Christ, would come, but specifically that he, the Christ, would suffer and would die and would be raised from the dead. Psalm 22, for example, Isaiah 53, and then Psalm 16. These and many other passages of Scripture portrayed in vivid detail the suffering and death of the one who was to be born, the Son of God and the Son of Man. The entire Jewish religion had been about Jesus and this work of love that he would carry out in Jerusalem. And now he informs his disciples that he was about to bring it all to fulfillment on purpose for them. Passover was coming. It was almost Holy Week. Jesus told his friends what he was about to do for them, what he was about to willingly suffer for them. But what does it say in the gospel when they heard it? They understood none of these things. This saying was hidden from them, and they did not know the things which were spoken. It was hidden from them, even though the words couldn't be clearer. It wasn't that the words were so dark and obscure. But here again we see that even the clearest words of God cannot be grasped, cannot be comprehended by human fallen minds without the Spirit's teaching. Well, why was the Spirit of God hiding this truth from Jesus' disciples right now, even though they were hearing it clearly from Jesus' own lips? It was being hidden from them because Jesus had to suffer all of this alone. It was necessary for them to be kept in the dark so that Jesus would not even have the comfort, the aid, the understanding of his friends in this world leading up to his death. And that too was prophesied by the scriptures, as the Psalms put it. My loved ones and my friends stand aloof from my plague, and my relatives stand afar off. Lord, why do you cast off my soul? Why do you hide your face from me? Loved one and friend, you have put far from me, and my acquaintances into darkness. And then a bit of irony in our gospel, because the next words of our gospel bring us face to face with a man who had literally sat in the darkness for a long time, the blind beggar. Mark tells us that his name was Bartimaeus. Matthew tells us that there were actually two blind men present that day who were healed, but apparently Bartimaeus was the one whose words and actions stood out. He didn't have the benefit of eyesight or of riches or fame or fortune or even enough to feed himself on a day-to-day basis. He was a beggar. But the Holy Spirit, working through the word that Bartimaeus had already heard about Jesus, had granted him better vision than anyone else in the crowd that was thronging around Jesus that day, marching in procession to Jerusalem. This blind man heard the commotion, asked what it was about, and they told him, well, Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. And he cried out, saying, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Son of David, as you know, is a confession on the beggar's part that Jesus was not just a great rabbi or a miracle worker. It was a confession that Jesus was the promised Christ, the descendant of King David, the Savior of Israel, who would sit on David's throne to rule over God's people, not just for 40 years, but forever, according to all those Old Testament prophecies. And then he said, have mercy on me. Another confession. A confession of faith in this Christ as the one who is merciful to those in need and who has the power to help in every need. This blind beggar was a beautiful example of faith and of the power of the Holy Spirit to create faith in the most unlikely places and people by his simple word. It was the Holy Spirit's doing that Bartimaeus could see more than Jesus' own disciples could see at that time. Indeed, the beggar saw Jesus better than the crowds that went with Jesus, because when they heard this blind man calling out after Jesus for mercy, it says that they warned him that he should be quiet. You can imagine these people in joyous procession with Jesus to the gates of Jerusalem leading up to Palm Sunday. We're having a joyful procession here. Can't you see that, you blind man? You're ruining it all with your beggarly cries for mercy. Don't you know that Jesus has better things to do than to help blind beggars at a time like this? He's going to Jerusalem to... Well, we don't know exactly why he's going to Jerusalem or what spectacular thing he'll do there, but we're sure it's going to be big. And we're going with him. So you should sit there quietly and let us have our day. Can you imagine followers of Jesus with an attitude like that to a man in need, crying out to Jesus for mercy? And yet there are very many who call themselves Christians still today, who still don't grasp who Jesus really is or why he came. They are Christians because of whatever benefit they think they get out of being Christians, whether it makes them feel good about themselves, or whether they latch on to some social justice theme they falsely find in the scriptures, or whether they really like certain kinds of church stuff, whether it's church music or church architecture or church activities. They loosely follow Jesus for some other reason than that for which he came, to show mercy to needy beggars. People who are beggars because of their sins, people who need him and only him to be able to see God, to enter heaven, to have God's grace. These people follow Jesus, and yet they don't really know him at all if they don't know him as the one who came for needy beggars. But faith knows him. The Holy Spirit, through the Word, opens blind eyes and reveals Jesus to be the only one who can help poor beggars, poor sinners like us. Faith knows him to be loving and merciful, the most loving, the most faithful, the most merciful mediator between God and man, whose ears are never irritated by a beggar's cries for mercy, but on the contrary, who loves to hear and answer our prayers, as long as our prayers for mercy are directed to him. Bartimaeus knew that. So he wasn't deterred by the shushing of the crowds. He cried out all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." So Jesus stood still and commanded him to be brought to him. And when he had come near, he asked him, saying, "What do you want me to do for you?" He said, "Lord, that I may receive my sight." Then Jesus said to him, "Receive your sight. Your faith has made you well." And immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise to God. This is the Jesus who went to Jerusalem, not thirsty for his own glory or too busy to help a needy sinner, but the very one who loves sinners, who saves them by faith alone, in him alone. This is the Jesus to whom you have been united in holy baptism, whom you have followed thus far, and who calls you to keep following. You still need his mercy every day, because you still haven't earned God's favor or a place in heaven, and you never will. You'll always have to depend solely on the mercy and the love and the suffering of Jesus as that which makes you acceptable to God through faith. And where there is faith, there will also be love. The pattern of love has been set by Jesus and outlined for us again in today's epistle, for us whom Jesus has called his friends. as we approach the Lenten season, which begins this Wednesday, let us determine to live as friends of Jesus, to use word and sacrament faithfully, and to ask the Holy Spirit earnestly to enlighten us more and more to the love of Christ for us, and to renew us more and more in love for one another. Amen. Please stand. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.
Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation.